to turn in John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And I want to read two verses of Scripture. And there's a lot of things that is taking place. You know, sometimes when we read a passage of Scripture, we look at the things that stand out. We look at the things that, you know, our focus, if we read this passage in the entirety, we would see where Pilate, Jesus was on trial. Pilate found no fault in him. Pilate even posted the fact that it says, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. There was a lot of opposition. Those that were against Jesus, those chief priests said, no, don't put that. He said, you know, they didn't recognize him as who he was. And so a lot of things that were taking place. They wanted them to write, that he said he was King of the Jews. And Pilate said the words, what I have written, I have written. So at this point, when we begin our reading, at this point, Christ was nailed to the cross. The soldiers had already taken him. They had already took the spikes or the nails, and they had put it in his hands and his feet. And he was hanging there. And now we look on the scene of the soldiers and what the soldiers were doing. And verse 23 says, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, thy parting my raiment among them, and for my virtue they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us another opportunity to praise you, to lift your name up. And Father, I pray that you'll speak to hearts according to your will and according to each need. We pray for those that are here. We pray for those that are listening. Lord, we do pray for those that are struggling in a lot of different ways, but help them to look to you. We ask that you help me this morning, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The garment with no seam. The garment with no seam. The Bible says, now the coat was without seam from the top throughout. I'd like to begin this morning by saying thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity. And this is something that I do not take lightly. And I understand the responsibility that there is to proclaim God's word. I understand the importance it is that God uses the word of God, and God uses mouthpieces to proclaim his word, because we're living in a very difficult world. And each person needs the Lord in their life. So I don't take it lightly, and my prayer is that God uses me and continue to work that's already been done. I also want to take just a second before we get into the message and thank Darla and Marshall for being my support. We need each other. And how do you think I knew it was 34 years ago today that I was at Ruby's? Do you think I remember that? It's a blessing to have support, and it's a blessing to have them by our side. When we look at this passage of Scripture, we see a garment. What was the significance about this garment? What was significance about the fact that it had no seam? I think we would all agree that our days, and these are difficult days, and we would probably all agree that people are going through troubles. People are going through confusion. People are looking for answers. They're looking for help. Some people are exhausted to the point to where they're willing to give up on life. Simply unsure of what to do. Some are blind to the things of God. They're blind to the hope that we have. And so many are self-centered to their needs and their own agendas and their own life that they're really not looking at anything else. The only true answer that we have this morning is Jesus Christ. And He must be in the forefront of every one of our lives. He must be the centerpiece. And this morning's message is this garment without seam. You see, Jesus had been arrested, put on trial. He was found with no fault. However, He was still sentenced to being crucified. And if we could picture in our minds the best that we can see someone that was whipped, someone that was beaten, someone that was mocked, someone that was rejected, someone that would soon die on the cross, hearing the angry mobs looking on, His authority being questioned, saying, if you would be who you say you are, you could free yourself. So while all this was going on, and if you can picture Jesus on the cross, there was something that was happening. Amongst the turmoil of the grief that some were feeling, amongst the turmoil that people were saying crucify, and the hatred among the people, there was something that was happening. And if we was to look down, we would see some soldiers. We would see some soldiers while all this was going on making sport of the garments of Christ. Making sport of this that was taking place. Most times when we look at this, we may just kind of look over this because we were centering on the crucifixion of Christ, and rightfully so. But while this was taking place, there were four soldiers that was making sport of a garment and garments that Christ had worn. You see, their job was done. They had put Christ on the cross. They had nailed His hands. They had nailed His feet. And in their minds, their job is done. So now we're going to have a little fun. They took His garments and made four parts. Why would they do this? Why would they do something so shameful? You see, Christ was naked on the cross. So why would they take the only thing that He had wore and strip Him? And why would they take and make sport of this garment and these garments? Could it have been that they had heard about the woman that was healed by the touch? And maybe they thought that if they had a piece of this garment, that they could sell this fortune, that they could use this garment to try to touch others to touch it, and maybe they could make a business out of people healing. But you see, it wasn't the garment that did the healing. It was Jesus that did the healing. Amen. Could it have been that they were making fun, simply adding to the shame of Jesus hanging there naked and seeing your clothes being torn apart? Could it have been? But there was one garment, the Bible says, that they didn't tear apart. There was one garment that they didn't tear, but yet they gambled over it and cast lots to see who could take it in verse 24. Let us not rent it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. Little did they know, and this is where I believe that God makes no mistakes and we can trust Him. But little did they know they were a part of what was told many, many years ahead of this day. Little did they know in their games and in their mind and in all these things, little did they know, because in Psalm 22 verse 18, the Bible says, they parted my raiment among them and cast lots upon my vesture. You see, the scripture was being fulfilled before their eyes and they didn't even know it. They were blind. This should be further proof that Jesus is who He claimed to be. Jesus was who He claimed to be. You see, all these things were being fulfilled. Before we continue about His coat, that it was without seam and woven from the top throughout, I would like us to paint another picture within a picture. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but you see a beautiful picture, you see something that really strikes your attention, and then you zero in on something in that picture. And if you look at it from a distance, if you look at it way out, then you might not see something to zero in on. But I want us to zero in on something in this picture of Christ hanging on the cross, of these soldiers there casting lots, making sport, making fun of His garments. But I want us to zero in on something. And I want to see if we can relate it to where we are today in this world. While Jesus was hanging on the cross, the soldiers were busy. They were busy. They didn't care anything about Jesus and what was happening. Is that the way the world is today? The world cares very little as a whole about Jesus Christ. The world cares very little about what was accomplished on the cross of Calvary. The world cares very little about what we're doing here today. The world cares very little because they have their own agendas, like the soldiers had their own agenda. That should tell us something we already know, but something we need to be reminded of, and that is the depravity of man. The depravity of man. Mankind, only thinking of themselves, only thinking and worried about what they want to do, and doing their own thing instead of looking to God, the one who created this world, the one who allowed Jesus, because there was no other hope that we had, to die on the cross for our sins. You see, they weren't worried about that. And that just shows you the depravity of man. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what a picture the soldiers are giving us this morning of simply the depravity of man. Zeroing in on their thing. Zeroing in on, you know, one of the things that really strikes me is it just seems like more than other times, but it seems like more people today have the I don't care attitude more so than they've ever had. They don't care about anything. They don't care about what's happening in people's lives. They don't care about what's happening. It's just they have that mentality of, I don't care. And I see the soldiers doing that as well, because they didn't care about Jesus. They just did their job and nailed him to the cross and then making fun. The next thing that we see is the fact that it shows us of the shame that Jesus endured. Not only was he stripped naked and rejected, they were now taking his garment and his garments and bidding on them and also tearing them. The one that had preached, the one that had healed, the one that had fed, the one that had saved, the one that had helped. And this should be a reminder of how easy it is for a man to do wrong instead of doing right. That's our sinful nature. It's easier to do wrong than do right. What's the first thing that a baby does when it's born? It cries. A baby doesn't look up to the doctor and say, well done. But the baby cries, and then it continues to cry as it wants something. And that's natural. As a baby needs to be changed, it cries. As a baby needs to be fed, it cries. And then the baby realizes, well, this is pretty good. And then he starts crying just because. And that's when you're laying there asleep and you know that, and I'm not necessarily talking about Marshall, because he didn't realize he was doing it. He just knew that he wanted to be held. There were times when I was growing up that I was nervous about being in the dark, and I would holler for my mother for a glass of water. I wasn't thirsty. But the point is, it's easier for man to do wrong than it is to do right. And that shows the depravity. And it was easier for them to take these garments and cast lots and tear them. It was easier for them to do that than it would be to cover up the shame of Christ. And they made sport of it. The Bible says that Christ, he became sin for us who knew no sin. And for that I'm so grateful, that we might have life through him. And then the third thing that I see before we get back into this garment, the third thing that I see is simply this. God's word is true because it's truth. And I've already mentioned that before. They were a part of the fulfillment of what was spoken, that these garments would be parted. And they were just simply a fulfillment. You see, people needs the truth. And this is further truth that we can trust the Lord. Look back in your own life and people that you've put trust in, and they failed you. They've disappointed you. They've not lived up to what they said. But I can promise you that if we put our faith and trust in Christ, he will never let us down. It doesn't mean we're not going to understand everything, but he'll never fail you. He'll never fail you. But what about this garment? My dad, when I was about 14 years old, my dad owned a factory. He and another man went into to business, and I call it a factory. It was just kind of a warehouse, and he designed women's clothes. Women's back then, and I'm sure it'll come back. Maybe it's already back, but back then, when I was working there through the summer, velour was a big trend. You know, if you hang on to your clothes long enough, they'll come back. The trends will come back because there's nothing else to do. We just have to keep repeating it. But back then it was velour. And we would lay the fabric out, all these different layers, and it would get to where it was about this deep. And in fabric, and we would cut out the bad spots, and then we would lay it over, and then once everything was laid out, then he would take the patterns, and he would lay across it, and there was this great big knife. It was actually just about a razor blade, a great big knife, and he would use it to cut. It was electric. He used it to cut out the fabric, and then they would take it and send it to the ladies across the warehouse, and then each lady would that had the sewing machines would you know, one person was in charge of sewing the neck, one person was in charge of sewing the arms and you know, the shoulders and those type of things. But every piece of garment had a seam. And that seam was how things were put together. As far as I know, and I haven't looked at you really closely, but as far as I know, every garment that is worn this morning has a seam. I don't see anybody looking at their seams. But every garment has a seam. A garment without seam, as the Bible says, a garment without seam woven from the top throughout cannot be mass produced. It can't be mass produced. My dad would, they would mass produce. That's why we laid the fabric out and it would be cut and the ladies would sew it and those type of things. Those things can be mass produced, but this garment can't be mass produced. The Bible doesn't tell us the person that made the garment. But I believe it's important as we look at this garment that we try to imagine the person that did make it. And what is it about that person's life? Well, first of all, I believe that Jesus was special to that person. Special to that person. Because they made this garment to fit Jesus. They made this garment to fit Him perfectly. And for that it takes dedication. Dedication. You can't get a garment today, or you can get a garment today, and you can go buy it at the store and you'll say, well, I think this fits me, and we're not talking about sizes, so we'll talk in general. But you say, and you get it home and you're like, this don't fit. What do? You take it back, and you get the next size smaller. But the point is, you take it back. As good as garments, as good as you look this morning, those garments were not made for you. You purchased them, and now they are yours. This garment that Jesus was wearing was made for Him. That's important. It was made for Him. The person that made this garment that was woven without seam from the top throughout, Jesus must have been very special to that person. The person knew Jesus in a very special way. You couldn't put it together in just a moment, in just a minute. I remember back years ago, my mother would make all of us Easter clothes, and she made me a little suit one time. I was a little feller, but I remember that Easter suit wasn't without pain. Because when she had me put it on and I was standing there on a stool, and I remember her humming, and boys can't stand still, and I remember the pins used to stick me. So those Easter suits were not made without pain. But this garment wasn't something to be put on at the last minute, just saying, hey, here's you a garment, let's throw this on. No, I don't believe so. I believe it was something that was very special, and it had to be a planned garment, planned for Jesus. Remember, this was the fulfillment of something that took place or was told that was going to take place many, many years prior. So this was a planned garment. It was also a personal garment because it was a garment that was made for Jesus Christ. And it was also, it would be the garment for Jesus Christ. Now, if you know Jesus Christ in a personal way, you want to give Jesus your very best. So whoever made this garment must have been willing to give their very best to Jesus Christ. There are three things that I want to make mention in the remainder time that we have. There are three things that I hope that we can apply to our own lives about this garment and the garment that was without seam. And the first thing is, they knew Jesus. The maker of this garment knew Jesus and knew him well. Knew him well. They would have had to study Jesus. They would have had to been close to Jesus. They would have had to be able to, and I don't know if they had, I'm sure they didn't have the kind of tape measures that they have now, but I'm sure that they had to get this by precise and preciseness for Jesus Christ. And they had to be close to him. They had watched him. They had followed him, and they had focused their whole world on Jesus Christ for this garment that was made without seam from the top throughout. Jesus wasn't just a pastime to this person that made this garment. He was personal to them. It wouldn't have fit Jesus if Jesus was just a pastime to him, to this maker of this garment. There's actually some theories. I was doing some reading. There's actually some theories of who made this garment. There's no way of knowing, but there's actually some theories. And I think if the Lord would have wanted to know who made the garment, then he would have said. But I think it's the point is that person knew Jesus and knew him well. Where are we with Jesus in our life? Do we know him well enough in our own life that we could make a garment? And what I mean by that is not necessarily the physical clothes, but do we know him well enough to know his thinking, to know why he did what he did, to see the compassion that he had on others, to see the love he had for other people, to see his willingness to sacrifice for us? Do we know him that well? How well do we know Jesus? Number two, this person gave Jesus the honor that he deserved. You see, there's more to this by this garment being woven without seam from the top throughout. There's more than that. There's more to this, and that is the fact that this is the garment that a high priest would have wore, found in the Old Testament. So our challenge with this is, he deserves our honor. He deserves our honor in our lives. We need to give him the honor that he deserves in our lives. Our relationship to Jesus Christ should be the most important part of our life. It should be the most important part in our life, but so many times things get in the way and takes that. And we can call that time robbers. We can call that things robbers. Whatever gets in your way from your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ is a robber. It robs. These soldiers were not worried about Jesus, but I believe that the maker of this garment was worried about Jesus, and he, whoever this person was, wanted the very best and wasn't worried about what others thought. Their job was just to make this garment that was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Sometimes when you go buy a suit, You know, there's very few suits that actually fit. You have to tailor it to the person that is buying it. But I can't stress enough that this robe was not just thrown together, but it was tailored, made to Jesus without a seam. He had to have known Jesus so well, or she or whoever it was, had to have known Jesus and gave Jesus the honor that he deserved. And then lastly this morning, and this really hits home if you really stop and think about it. They had to have loved him. They had to have loved him. You know, the prime example of love, and I think the closest that we that have children, I think the closest love that you can have is the love for a child. No matter what that child does in your life, no matter what happens in your life, no matter what, you're still going to love that child. It's a natural love. But for this garment to be made without seam, from the top throughout, to make this garment, it had to be a labor of love. It had to be a labor of love. Why do we do the things that we do? Why do we serve? If we're serving for any reason but for Jesus Christ, we are serving for the wrong reasons. It must be, the things that we do for the Lord must be a labor of love. Why do we sing? Why do we preach? Why do we serve? Why do we clean? Why do we do anything? Why do we come to church? Why do we do those things? I hope the reason is because we love Jesus Christ. Something to note. What happens when you're making a garment that is woven without seam from the top throughout? What happens when you make a mistake? You can't cut it out, because then you're going to have a patch. And what's a patch going to be? It's going to have a seam. So what happens when you make a mistake? And I believe that mistakes are made, because the person that made this garment was a person, and people make mistakes. So what happens to a garment that a mistake is being made when the garment is being made and you get so far, and then you ever put together a puzzle and you get everything together and the very last piece that you're looking for is lost? Isn't that discouraging? And you think to yourself, how in the world can I make another piece? When a mistake is made in a garment that is being woven without seam, you can't sew a patch. But what you have to do is you have to take it apart and start over. You have to take it apart and start over. Mistakes and failures are going to come in our lives. Mistakes and failures are going to come to us. We have a sinful nature. It's going to happen. We're going to say the wrong things to the wrong people. We're going to say, or we're going to say things that hurt people. We're going to do things that hurt people. We're going to make mistakes, and we're going to make some wrong choices. Believe me, I've made plenty. But the important thing is not that you make them, it's what you do about them after you make them. Because we're going to make mistakes. And for a person that is weaving this garment, it's not the time to think that if the mistake is made, the person says, well, it's only a mistake, I'm going to go on. Because then the garment would be flawed. And remember, I said it was a garment that a high priest would wear. And the high priest is not going to wear a garment with a flaw. So the person would have to take it back apart wherever that bad spot is and start over and correct it. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we have to go back to that bad part. We have to go back to the part where we've made the mistake and say, I'm sorry, not because you got caught, but you're sorry because you made the mistake. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to fall short. We're all going to struggle. But the important is, what are you going to do when you make the mistake? Jesus loves you and will forgive you, but you have to ask Him for the forgiveness. You can't just cover it up. You can't cover it up. And there are people that have covered up things that are living miserable lives today, and they can go back to that point in their life when they say, this is where I made the mistake. This is where I did wrong. And they have kept covering it up, covering it up, covering it up, and they are living with bitterness in their life. The one who made this garment without seam from the top throughout loved Jesus enough to where he or she wanted to give the very best to Jesus Christ. And that should be our desire this morning, is giving our very best to Jesus Christ. Our very best. Not what's left, but our very best. The person had to have Jesus completely in their life for them to understand the size of the garment, the make of the garment, and all those things had to have Jesus Christ completely in their life. And that's why Jesus is not a pastime. This person made the garment, and this is the last thing that I just want to add, because I thought about it this morning as I was finishing preparing and studying over this message, and this is what came to my mind. The person that made the garment during this time, and just before Jesus was to die on the cross, was living amongst haters, was living amongst those that were turning away from Christ, was living amongst all these things, self-centeredness as the soldiers. The person that made this garment was living amongst all the things that we are living amongst today, and still loved Jesus enough to make this garment. Jesus was important. And Jesus was important to this individual. And although we don't know who it was, we know that this garment that was made, that they cast lots for, was known many generations before. And not only were these soldiers part of that prophecy, the one that made the garment was too. Because they had to make the garment. You never know what your life is going to do for others, and what part that you're going to play in others' people's lives. And the thing that's going to matter is where you have Jesus Christ in your life. Is He a pastime? Is He an afterthought? So many times you hear people say, well, I'm saved. But yet, you look and you're like, Could you make a garment without seam? Is there a mistake in that garment that you've got to go back and say, Lord, I'm sorry? The wonderful thing about this is, it's what I said in the beginning. It's not about me, but it's about Him. So as we have this time, you know where you are. And maybe there's something that was said that spoke to your heart that you just need to come and say, Lord, I want to start over. I want to be where you want me to be. I want to love you enough to where I can make you a garment. How do we make a garment? With our lives. We're going to have an invitation. And if any way God has spoken to your heart, I invite you to come. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for your word, and thank you for showing us things in your word that sometimes we look over so many times. But Lord, your word impacts our lives. Now it's up to us, as we have this impact, now it's up to us to do something about it. So, fathers, we have this invitation. If you've spoken to someone, would they be willing to come and say, Lord, I want to make that garment for you in my life, by my life. Even in the midst of hatred and turmoil and all these things that's happening around us, I want you to use me to impact someone else. Father, if there's someone that doesn't know Christ in a personal way, that's never accepted Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they would be willing to come as well and realize that it begins with our relationship with Jesus. We ask your blessings on this message and this passage. And we ask your blessings on this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.